So get your Bible out and make welcome Brother Kyle Cody.
People, amen. 1 Kings chapter 19, verse number 1. If you got your Bibles and want to turn there with us, the Bible said, "And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and with all how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. And then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, So let the gods do to me, and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. And when he saw that, he arose and went for his life, and came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, and left his servant there. He himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, and came and sat down under a juniper tree, and he requested for himself that he might die, and said, It is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers. And as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him and said unto him, Arise and eat. And he looked, and behold, there was a cake baking on the coals, and a cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and drink, and laid him down again. And the angel of the Lord came again the second time and touched him and said, Arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. And he arose and did eat and drink, and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the Mount of God. Can we pray? Father, I'm grateful to you tonight for your privilege to be in this place of worship, God, amongst your people. Lord, I pray just for a little while, God, that you'd move me out of the way. God, that you would help me to decrease. And God, may you increase. God, may you get all the glory and all the honor tonight, I pray. Lord, if there's somebody that's burdened and broken and weary, God, somebody that needs a touch, God, you promised your word would go out and not return void. Lord, if there's somebody here tonight that doesn't know you as Savior, God, may today be the day of salvation. Lord, we give you the praise and the glory for it all, for it's in Jesus' name. And all God's people said,
Amen.
You know this, no doubt, this scripture very well. I'm sure that you have heard it. You probably heard it preached on. I don't anticipate telling you really anything new tonight, but I find that it's interesting that we can learn a lot by examining the lives of other Christians. Would you agree with that?
Yes.
I'm not talking about looking at them and idolizing them, but I'm talking about sometimes the enemy will get us in a place. Sometimes life will get us in a place where we feel like there's nobody else that's ever had a problem. Sometimes we go through things and we feel like we're isolated and alone. Anybody ever been there? And we learn a lot from looking in the scripture and looking at God's people that Elijah is not just a prophet, but in fact he is a prophecy in and of itself that shows us an example of the place that we can be in our own lives. It is a reminder that it is very possible to serve God and still battle in the valley of the shadow of death. It is possible to serve God, and in fact, we often hear people preach and people make things seem different than they really are. A lot of times people act like if you get saved and you serve in a church or you come to a camp meeting or you are in a youth group, a lot of times people act like you'll never go through anything and everything ought to just be great. And then all of a sudden people run into trouble and they wonder where God is. They wonder why God failed when in fact, it is simple that we are living life, and according to the Bible, it rains on the just and the unjust alike. Would you agree with me? I promise I'm going to preach in a minute. Just bear with me for a moment. But can I say that we realize that in fact, we will go through some things. In fact, it's even possible to serve God and things to seemingly be okay on the outside. It's possible to have good meetings and good church service and yet fall into a state of depression and anxiety. It is possible to become weary and sick at heart, sorely tired and apt to faint. It's possible to experience trials and battles in your life that that will in fact make you look at somebody else and their life. It'll make you look at somebody else's Facebook. Come on, help me out. Can I be real? It'll make you look at somebody else's Twitter page and their Instagram, and everything is looking good behind the scenes, and it'll make you wonder, what's wrong with me? What's wrong with my marriage? What's wrong with my children? Why do things not look that good for me? I'm just wondering tonight, is there anybody in this place that you've ever felt like that everybody else must have it together and you must be the only one that's going through a trial? It's interesting because this particular scenario is not only for those of age. It's not for those that are just young, but it happens to the best of us, young or old. And in this particular problem, if we're not careful, we'll allow our human mentality and our difficulty of comprehending and making sense of our struggle, we'll often listen to the wrong people and the wrong voices, and we'll find ourselves straying further away from God rather than in those moments growing closer to God. Is it really possible tonight that somebody could raise the dead one minute, open and shut heavens, fetch down fire and water from heaven through the power and the strength of their prayer? Is it really possible that one can slay 400 people of Baal that would worship Baal with a sword, and now, just a few chapters later, be found sucking their thumb, laying under a juniper tree, and wishing that they were dead? Let me ask you something. Have you ever felt good and been able to raise your hand in church on Sunday? Or a Sunday night, or a Wednesday night, or a camp meeting? Have you ever been surrounded by God's people and things went so good during the week and you felt like, listen, I know it's a cliche, but I'm going to use it anyway. Anybody ever left church feeling like you could swing out over hell on a wet noodle with a water pistol and take on the devil and all his angels? Come on, help me out. And think life could never be better and leave on a spirit. But have you ever walked out the doors of the church and had reality smack you right in the face? Have you ever walked out feeling so good from church, and now all of a sudden there's real trials and real problems and real battles that slap you as soon as you walk out the door? Listen, it's natural to be in that place where you're so weary. Listen to this, I'm going to hurry. Elijah's weakness, notice this, he requested that he might not. Now listen, there's a lot of religious folks that'll look at Elijah and they'll say, oh, he must not have the goods. He must not have it. I mean, they'll discredit everything else that's happened in his life and his relationship with the Lord. And they'll look at him in one moment, Brother Kenny, of weakness, one moment where he's human, one moment where he's in a pit and he needs God and he needs the church to come around him instead of ridicule. They'll look at him and say, well, bless God, I guess he probably didn't have the real thing. Yeah, some of you never been there. Listen, there'll be a religious crowd that'll get all up around you, and they'll hang out for a little bit. But Job experienced it when his friends, they wept with him a little while. And then the next thing you know, them same church people looked at him and said, you better get right, son. No doubt, something must be wrong with you. Elijah finds himself by himself under a juniper tree, and things have gotten so bad that he said, I wish I'd never been born. Let me tell you something, child of God, you don't know what the person sitting beside you is going through. You don't know what they've been through. You don't know where they've been. You don't know what they're dealing with. And you and I ought to be careful to help encourage. You know why I love church so much? Because you get in a place like this, and there's not even nobody going to be here that'll kick you while you're down. There'll be people that'll come around you and say, I don't know what you're dealing with. I don't know what you're going through, but I know somebody that does. And they'll encourage you, and they'll lift you up. Listen, Elijah said, oh, I must have failed. No doubt. The devil will tell you, oh, you were so big and strong back there. But look at you now. He suffers disappointment. He's weary from the excitement of Mount Carmel. A man that has now fled for his life and desires that God would take his own life. Yet he is needed now more than ever. We see people experiencing moments of great difficulty. We see them experiencing times of great trial. Brother Elby, will you help me? Hand me them cups up here in just a minute. And here's what, can I be 100% real with y'all? Y'all be okay with me for a minute? I know we may not jump pews and shout on this message, but I'm going to try to help somebody if that'll be all right. Here's what we say. People are going through stuff. They're going through trials, and they're going through difficulties, and they're having a hard time. Come here, buddy. I can't remember your name. I'm so sorry, but I'll remember it next time. What is it?
Josiah.
Will you just randomly hand some people these cups? You just pick somebody. Just wander around while I preach. Here's what we'll say. They'll be going through stuff, and they'll be dealing with things, and we try to be good encouragers. And here's what we'll do. We'll come up to him. We'll say stuff like this. Well, at least we know the Lord won't put more on you than you can handle. Now listen, if you've ever said that, we'll forgive you. But don't do it again. Oh, it gets more ridiculous. We mean well. And in the South, for those of y'all that are not from the South, let me just tell you what we do to those people. We just look at them and say, bless their heart. But here's what we do. We say, oh, at least the Lord will put more on you than you can handle. And then the step up from that, for the more religious, dignified people, they look at you and they'll say this. Well, brother, consider yourself blessed. The Lord must have thought you were so strong. I mean, God, they act like God has got seven buckets of just trial and tribulation in heaven going, God, Lord, I don't know what to do with these. We got to find the strongest ones to carry because somebody has got to carry all this bucket of burden that I've got in heaven to dump on them. I mean, that's how we act. The Lord must have thought you were so strong that he gave it to you to carry, and you should consider yourself more blessed than all them other heathens. God didn't see fit to give them the burden because they're not strong. Have any of y'all, some of y'all looking at me like I've lost my mind. There's them real people out there, by the way. God won't give you more than you can handle. But life will. In fact, in our scripture, you said preaching. I don't know if you're preaching Bible now. You're just kind of rambling. Can you give me some Bible for that? I'm sure glad you asked. In verse 7 of our text, you'll find that the angel itself that came to visit with Elijah, here's what the angel had to say. The angel said, Elijah, I agree with you. The journey is too great for you. No, you can't do it by yourself. In fact, can I give you just a couple more examples and I'll preach? In Exodus chapter number 18, listen, Moses, his father-in-law, came to him and said, Moses, this thing you're trying to do is not good. I'm paraphrasing. Here's what he said. He said, you will surely wear away, thou and these people with you, for this thing is too heavy for you, and you're not able to do it alone. Jeremiah in chapter number 20, Jeremiah chapter number 20, a preacher. Now listen, I just got to bust somebody's bubble for all you that think preachers have got it made. All they do is talk one time a week and play golf the rest of the time. Let me tell you something. The men of God go through some things because we are just like you and you're just like us. And we're no better and we're no lower. We're all people and we all go through trials. Jeremiah, the man of God, has just been dipped down in a big old bucket of mire in Jeremiah chapter number 20. And Jeremiah said the same thing. Curse be the day that I was born. I'm guessing Job would have something to say about this whole idea that God will never put more on you than you can handle. I'm guessing Job, when he lost everything he had, would say, you know what? In fact, it is more than I by myself alone can handle. I'm guessing that Paul would have something to say. I'm guessing Joseph, as his own family turned away from him and tried to kill him and put him in a pit, I'm guessing that they would have something to say. In fact, Paul said, in 2 Corinthians chapter number 1, he said, we were pressed out of measure. The things we were going through was above our strength, insomuch that we despaired for our lives. In fact, the truth is, life ain't fair. Cancer is more than you can handle. A prodigal child. It's more than you can handle. Infidelity, adultery, an issue in your marriage is more than you can handle by yourself. Y'all still with me, ain't you? Rejection, death, loss, tragedy. Listen to me. I can't stand up here and try to explain everything that happens in this life. I can't. In fact, are most of us at some point, at least spiritually, if not actually physically, have been in the place where Elijah was. The facts are most of us have been in the place where we are, when we are by ourselves, we're weak as water. But the truth is that God will never put more on you than he can handle. Listen, the truth is that life will not present more in your circumstance than God can handle. In fact, it's why Jesus himself, who by the way is the author and the finisher of our faith. In fact, Jesus said it like this. All ye that are weary and heavy laden. Can I put that in redneck for y'all? All y'all that are worn out and you're tired of carrying the load, and in fact, you're about to just give up under the weight of the load. You're about to just let it all go. Jesus said, oh, you're the one I'm looking for. All ye that are weary and heavy laden, what you do? Come unto me and I will give you rest. Peter said it like this, cast all. Cast all of your care on him. Why would we do that, Peter? Because he cares about you. He cares about you under that juniper tree. He cares about you when you can't explain it. He cares about you when you've lost everything that was precious to you. He cares about you when you are dying and on your way to hell. So much that he sent his son. And if he sent his son 2,000 years ago to save your soul from going to hell, then he still cares about you today. Quickly, can I tell you this? Notice Elijah's condition, but I want you to notice God's response. Aren't you glad that God comes walking in the cool of the day? Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad that God don't cast us down every time we have a burden or a trial, but instead he beckons us to come to him? Notice this. Number one, you'll find, according to verse number 7, he let him sleep. He let him rest. Now I'm going to tell you something. Every now and then, you got to have a hang on to your heart. Every now and then, you got to have a moment where you can steal away and be still and know that he is God. Every now and then, can I just be real transparent with y'all? Some of y'all may not agree with this, and you may never want to hear me preach again for multiple reasons, but this might be one of them. You say, preacher, I can't believe you're up there preaching, and you would say something like this. I'm just going to be honest with you. I know he's God. How many of you would agree with that? Come on, hit me. I know he's God. But I'm going to tell you something. Sometimes life will get you in a place where you've got to steal away and remember that he's God. Because in our hustle and bustle of calling fire down from heaven, preacher, in our hustle and bustling of doing ministry, sometimes you got to get alone and remember who it is you're ministering about and be still and know he's God. Now I need one of you super, super excited boys to come here. Come here, come here, come here. Where's the best part of the stage where they ain't going to fall through? Right here? Right there. Bless the Lord. I need one more chair. I need you to go to sleep. Can I borrow your chair? Thank you. I need you to lay down like you're going to go to sleep.
No problem there.
Do you need one more chair? I didn't know Goliath was helping me. Now look at this. Look at this. Look at this. I'm done. Let me show you something. The Bible said Elijah, if you got a cup, hold it up. The Bible said, go to sleep, son. You can't sit up and look. The Bible said Elijah has went to sleep wishing for the day. He has went to sleep begging that he would never wake up tomorrow because of the thing and the weight that has pressed him in life. He is in a place where he is willing to give up on everything God has done in the past for him because of the pressure and the weight that is on him right now. And in that moment, while he is asleep, hoping to never wake up, feeling as if God has left him and forgot about him, all that while, the Bible said there's an angel of the Lord that is around him. By the way, aren't you glad that when we can't see, God is always working? There is an angel of the Lord that I believe no doubt was watching over him, but that when he woke up to a fresh cooked meal, a cake, the Bible said, and a pitcher of water was sitting by his head. All the while he was asleep, God was working to not only allow him to rest, but God was preparing to feed him after he rested. Now look here. He tells him to rise and eat. David said it like this. He's the lifter of my head. The 23rd Psalm, you know it well. When David starts works out with the Lord is my shepherd. And so most people equate this with death and dying, and by the grace of God, most people equate it with it being a shepherd in relation to his sheep. But one writer said it like this: not only is it a shepherd caring for his sheep, but it can be the perfect image of the host as he welcomes his guests, for he speaks of preparing a table and feeding them in the presence of their enemies. David would write and be in a similar situation as Elijah, for in Psalm 22, isn't it amazing how just one chapter before, David said, I am poured out like water. In other words, there is nothing left in me. He said, my tongue sticks to my mouth because I'm dry, and I am so weak that my muscles will not work anymore. And one chapter later, some of y'all are scared to death. I'm going to spill water. You just hang on. One chapter later, he said, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not. I believe David woke up to a cake of milk. Oh, he leads me beside, here it is, still waters, and restores my soul. Oh, he leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I've walked through the valley of the shadow of death, I've been in a place where I never expected to be, but I found him to be a very present help in a time of trouble. I found him to be a refuge and a strength so that I could go from being poured out like water to now, the next day, after a little rest, after a little seeking him, after a little searching for him, he showed up again and restored my very soul. He anointed my head and my cup. He let him sleep. He prepared him a meal.
Stick your cup out here. I'll be real with you. I don't care how young or how old you are. Some of you came to this place and you're weary.
Yes, sir.
And you came to this place with a dry cup. And God said, oh, don't give up yet. Yeah.
I've seen them frustrated, and all of a sudden,